shiur today, Parshas Pinchas, is brought to you by the Weinbach family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishbas, Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. We find the following pasuk in this week's Sedra. B'nei Gad l'mishpachosam, l'tzfon mishpachat atzfoni, l'chagi mishpachas achagi, l'shoni mishpachas hashuni. These are the family of Gad. So the Sefer Maor v'Shemesh, he finds an interesting remez here to the to three inyanim when it comes to the topic of giving tzedakah, interestingly enough. But before we see this, give a little background. There's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara goes through there the Aleph Beis and darshans the different letters of the Aleph Beis. Aleph stands for Aleph, Beit stands for Bina, Aleph Bina. And then the letters Gimel Dalet stand for Gomel Dalim. That one should gomel to give dalim, give the poor. Therefore, in the pasuk b'nei gad l'mishpachasam, gad gimel dalad is a remez to tztaka, gomel dalim, gad gimel dalad. As an aside, there's an interesting Ben Yishchai says on the pasuk migdal Yeshua's malko ve'oseh chesed limshicho le'david le'zaro ad olam, which we're familiar with, the pasuk we say in benching. Agav, as we know, we say during the weekday, Magdil, and on Shabbos, Migdol, Yeshua's Malko. So they ask, when do you say both? The answer is, when you forget, Magdil, Amigdol. So the Ben Yishchai points out that the word Migdol, if you take out the Vav, if it's spelled Chaser, Mem Gimel Dalet Lamed, it's made up, therefore, of two words. You have the letters of Gimel Mem Lamed, Gamal, Gimel, and the letter Dalet. As we've seen, Gomel Dalim, Gad, Gimel Dalet. So we have the Gimel spelt out whole, Gimel Mem Lamed, Gimel, and Dalet just spelt the first letter, Dalet, the letter Dalet. So he says the rem is here, that when one gives tzedakah, you don't have to wait until the dalad, the dal, is malay, is totally a dal, if he's totally poor. If you see he's falling already, then gamal, you give him, yes, malay, full. You give him full, your gomel, full, as the gimel is in written, gimel mem lamed, the whole word. So you give him full, even though he's only dalad, just the beginning. He's not full yet, he hasn't fallen yet totally. You still help him out. And that's merumaz in the word migdal. And if you do so, Yeshua smalcha ve'osachetin l'mshicho, that'll bring in the end the Mashiach, as the Gemara in Baba Basra says in Daf Yud Amud Aleph, gedola tztaka shemekareves as a geula. Then one gives tztaka that brings the geula. Another aside, from the Sefer Lechem Lefi Ataf, he says that the word ashir in gematria is 580. And the word ani in gematria is 130. So what's the hefresh, the difference between 580 and 130? 450, which is in the word 10, give. So the difference between an asher and an ani is somebody that gives. Which he says, lav dafka doesn't mean rich and poor, because it can be a rich person, have a lot of things, doesn't give anything. So who is the real asher? The one that, 10, that gives. So now back to our pasuk. So we said, B'nei Gad l'mishpasam, is a remez to Gad Gomel Dalim, those that give tztaka. So one union when it comes to tztaka is, Litzfon mishpachat atzfoni. Lashon safun. Safun means hidden. That when one gives, he shouldn't do it publicly. He should do it, better to do it quietly, if people don't know. When a person publicizes his actions, that takes away from his schar, his reward for his actions. Rav Shach used to say that if a person, when he does something good, if it becomes well known, then it's like he's taken away, he's already received his schar. It's likened to somebody who goes on the bus with a kartisia, a ticket that has already been punched, and he gives it to the driver. So it's already been punched. You can't use it anymore. So too, when the person did a chesed or whatever, tzedakah, and he goes up into the next world, he goes, okay, where's my reward? He says, you got it already. You got the publicity. And publicity is a reward. So therefore, the more public things are, the more you receive here in this world, so then you don't get it in the next world, Shach used to say. And similarly, about the Gemara in Brachas, it says Rabbi Yochanan once came to visit Rabbi Elazar, who was sick. And he went into the house, and the house was pitch black. So he wanted to bring some light into the room. So Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says, lifted up his sleeve, revealed his flesh on his arm, and his flesh was so shining from the Torah that he had within him that it lit up the room. Well, that's what the Gemara says. So ask Rav Shach, the obvious kasha. It says, when Rabbi Yochanan walked into the room, before he lifted up his sleeve, his face was showing, maybe hands also lechor, but at least his face. So his flesh was showing already. So why didn't the room light up when he walked in because of the flesh on his face? Why did he have to lift up his sleeve? So here we see, so Rav Shach, a lesson in Musar. That what's galui, what's visible, that doesn't meir, that doesn't bring light. What's hidden, that's what brings light. So he had to open up his sleeve and reveal what was hidden, that's what's brought the light. That's as we said, a person's actions, the more one keeps it quiet, the better it is. Rav Michal Yehuda Lefkowitz Shlita also once was speaking to his Talmidim, and he was discussing this inyan about how publicity is not a good thing. And he mentioned that the Gra said about himself that as great as the Gaon Mivilna was, and you know, it was the greatest in his generation, etc., greatest for many generations, the Gra said about himself, if he would have not been famous, he would have been even greater. That in fact the publicity affected him as well. So someone asked Rav Michal Yehuda, if that's the case, so why did the Gra allow himself to become known? He should have, you know, hidden the cave somewhere and learned and finished, and then he would have been that much greater, as he said he would have been. Why did he let himself become public if he knew that publicity would hurt him? So he said, because the Gra knew that his generation needed him and his Torah. It was necessary for the generation. So therefore, he looked at it as a mesiras nefesh. In other words, he knew that it was going to affect his Torah, but he said, I'm willing to give up of my Torah for the sake of Klal Yisrael. I know it's going to hurt me. I could be greater in Torah if I keep it quiet. But the people need me, and I'll be moser nefesh, my Torah, my greatness for the Klal Yisrael. That's why the Gra did what he did. And more of a chassidish Tom, runs the Magid Mimezrich. He once came to a small little town for Shabbos. Now, they used to have a minhag in those days that when a great person, great Torah personality, would come to a town for Shabbos, the shochet of the city would show his knife, the chalaf, he would show it to the gadol to look at, examine, as if to say, see the what I shech, this is what I use, it's good, it's sharp, it's all the meat's kosher, etc. So once the Magid Mezrich came to the small town, and the shochet, as was the minhag, showed the knife to the Magid. So he took the knife, and before he even examined it, he returned it back to the shochet, and he says, I don't have to go any further. I see the Shem Havaya, see Hashem's name on this knife. So it can be nothing greater. I'm sure you were never machshel anybody in the Velus and Trefus. No problem here whatsoever. I see Hashem's name on the knife. So the Hasidim saw it. Wow, this guy must be, you know, hidden tzaddik, you know, unbelievable. Wow, he said, the Magi saw the name of Hashem on the knife. Wow, they couldn't believe it. So they convinced the shochet to come with them that he should be the shochet of their town called Brod. Fine. So he accepted the job offer and he left and he became the shochet in the town Brod. While later, the Magid visited this town of Brod, and again, as was the Minhag, the same Shochet came out with his knife to show the Magid. This time, the Magid looked at him, and he wasn't happy with the knife. So they asked, what happened? It's the same Shochet, the same thing, everything, nothing changed. Why all of a sudden, what happened? So the Magid said that the publicity affected him negatively. You know, before he was a shochet in a small town, nobody heard of him, whatever he did is that he was then I saw Shem Havaya in his knife. But now, the tzaddik, the shochet, he was a famous shochet already, that the publicity hurt him, and he's not the same anymore. there's a midrash, Rish Lakish says, that Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, he had coming forth from his head the karnei hod, these beams of light, okay, shone forth from Moshe Rabbeinu's head. So the Midrash says, where did these beams of light come from? Moshe was zochetu. So Rish Lakish says that Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Sefer Torah, and with the leftover ink after he finished, it was on his quill, so that was put on his forehead, and that's what shone and turned into these karnei hod. So they ask, how could that be leftover ink? When Hashem gave Moshe the ink to write the Sefer Torah, Hashem misjudged? He said, made a mistake. I thought I took this much. I see a little leftover. Hashem doesn't make mistakes. So where does leftover ink come from? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says that where did it come from? When Moshe wrote the pasuk Ve'ish Moshe Anav Me'od Mikol Adam, and Moshe had to write this pasuk that he was the humblest of all men, in his humility he left out the Otz Yud. He wrote Ein Nun Vav. It said Ein Nun Yud Vav. He left out the little Yud because he didn't want to. He took away. He says, "I'm not so humble." In his humility, he took out the yud from the word anav, and with that extra yud that he was supposed to write, that was the extra ink that was supposed to be. But Moshe held it back, and with that, he was zochah to the karnei hod. So the Ponovitcherov points out that he says, "Here, look at this. Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote an entire sefer Torah, but how was he zochah in the karnei hod?" Dafka in what he didn't write. And what he didn't write, that's Yuzocha. By not writing the Yud, Yuzocha for the Karnei Hod. All the Sefer Torah he wrote, that didn't give him the Karnei Hod. What he didn't, what he held back, what's the secret to himself kept back, that's what he was Zocha, his greatness. There's a interesting story related by Rav Yisrael Zicherman. He's the Rav of Shkunat Brachfeld in Modin Elit. He says once there was a businessman, and he wasn't doing so well in his dealings, and he needed very badly a large loan in order to get back on his feet. So he went to his friend, who was quite wealthy, and he said, "Can you please lend me this large sum of money?" So his friend says, "Okay, not a problem, but of course I know you're having trouble, so I'm a little bit nervous lending you all this money. I'm not sure if I'll see you back, so as is custom, I'll ask you to if you can sign a couple of arivim, guarantors." So he says, "I can't." He says, "Why not?" He said, "Look, if I'm going to go searching around for arivim, then people are going to know my matzav, my situation, which is not great. And if people know that I'm doing bad, so nobody's going to want to do business with me, and I'm not going to get anywhere. I have to dafka keep it quiet that I'm not doing well, and that's why I'm coming to you, so I can have the loan, quietly." So he said, "I'd like to help, but I'm a little nervous giving you all this money without any guarantors." So the man said, was thinking, goes, "Okay, I have an idea." He says, "Yeah." He says, "I have a great guarantor for you." He says, "Wonderful, who is it?" He says, "Hashem." He says, "What?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I'll make Hashem my guarantor. Okay, if I don't pay back, Hashem will pay you." So the businessman was out. So he thought, and he said, "You know what? That's a novel idea. Hashem is the... Okay, let's go for it. We'll make Hashem the guarantor." That's great. So they wrote a contract, everything. They wrote that Hashem is going to be the guarantor. And he lent him the money. That was that. Time came to pay back the loan, and as the lender thought might happen, he didn't have what to pay. The day came to pay back, he didn't call him, waited a week, waited a month. Finally, he called him, he said, "Where's my money?" He said, "I'm sorry, I don't have it. I should don't have it." Okay, he had a feeling this was going to happen, he wasn't so happy about it. Now what? He was out all this money. So he said, wait a minute, I'll go to my guarantor. So the lender said, "Ribono Shalom, I lent this money with the goodwill, hoping to get the money back, and I made you my guarantor. He made you his guarantor, this lend borrower. So I'm asking of you, being the guarantor, please, you have to pay me back." But he said, "Hashem, you know what? I have a daughter who's quite old already, and she hasn't found her mate, shidduch. So, as a payback, you know, I'll take a shidduch for my daughter. That'll be fine. If you can find a shidduch for my daughter, I'm okay with that. And that's what, that was his tefillah to Hashem, the guarantor. Wouldn't you know it, 2 weeks later, his daughter was engaged. So, there's a big simcha, whatever. Guarantor came through. A few months later, he gets a phone call, the lender gets a phone call, and it's the borrower. The guy to borrow this money originally. He says, you know what, I really apologize, it's been months, you know, I owed you the money, and didn't pay you, but Baruch Hashem, things took a turn for the better, my business dealing started going, and not only that, I even made money, and I have the money to pay you, so I'd like to come over and give you the money I owe you. So he answers him, he says, what, I'm going to take back twice? He says, what do you mean take back twice? I didn't pay you yet. He goes, yes you did. He goes, what are you talking about? He says, your guarantor paid me, so I can't take again. That's guarantor. He says, we didn't have any guarantors. He said, yes, don't you remember? Hashem was a guarantor. He says, what? So he told him the story. He said, yeah, you know, I davened to Hashem and he for shidduch for my daughter and he came through 2 weeks later. Everything was fine. So I got paid. It's something fine. So he's like, okay, that's cute. Yeah, that's cute. But no, I owe you the money and here it is. I have it. I want to come over. When can I come over? He goes, no, not coming over. I got my money. I can't take again. It's not right. It went back and forth, so they actually went to a Din Torah. Went to a Din Torah, the lender said, he doesn't deserve the money, he already got it, the payback, and the borrower wanted to give back the money that he borrowed. So the psak was that, yes, the lender got his money back from the guarantor from Hashem, by having the shidduch for his daughter, but also the din is that when the guarantor pays, so the borrower, right, has to now pay back the guarantor. So therefore, the psak was that the money should go to Hashem, because he's the guarantor that paid. So as this happened in Tafshin Sameches, 2 years ago, it was a Shemitah year. So the money was given to a Zicherman to give to the Keren Ashvis, who was involved with the special fund for those farmers that keep Shemitah, and it should go to Tzedakah for those farmers that are keeping Shemitah. And the money was given back to the guarantor, it was given to those keeping Shemitah. So from here, as we see, that this money that was given without our publicity, without these guarantors, it bore fruit. As we learned, the first inyan that tzfoni should be hidden. The more you hide the actions, the tzedakah, etc., the greater it is. Next, in the pasuk says, l'chagi mishpachad achagi, lashon chag, that when a person gives his tzedakah, he should give it with a face of a chag, of a holiday, a happy face, not with the face of Tisha B'Av. Say, okay, here, you want some money? Okay, here, take this, you know, with a sour face. No, a person should give the money happily, with simcha, with a happy face. They say, or Asar of Levenstein brings down, from the pasuk that we say in Shir HaMalos, Haloch Yelach Uvacho Nose Meshe Chazara, Bo Yavo Verina, no se alumosav. That if a person's halochilah hu bacho, a person's boche, if he cries, if he gives tzedakah with a crying face, like begrudgingly, then in the end, no se meshech hazara. Then he gets back what he planted. He gave this much, he gets back exactly what he gave. That's all, no more. Because he gave it cryingly. That's what's going to be his reward after 120. However, as the pasuk continues, bo yavo berina, a person gives it berina happily, then no se alumosav. He doesn't just give back what he planted, he gets back alumosav, sheaves, bundles. He gets back much, much, much more. If a person gives happily, his reward will be multiplied greatly. That we find, learn from the Siremistu and the L'chagi, Mishpachat HaChagi. And finally, the last part of the pasuk, L'shoni, Mishpachat HaShoni, so L'shanen, L'shon, to repeat, to go over. That tzedakah is not something you give once in your life. You gave something and that's it. No, it's something you give over and over and over and over again. That's a remez to in Lashoni, Mishpachat Hashoni. To Lashanen, tzedakah should be given over and over and over again. A couple of interesting remazim in Legabe Tzedakah. The word tzedakah itself is 199 in Gematria. And they point out, because the Mishnah says that if a person has 200 zoos, then he's not. He has enough money that he doesn't deserve to take tzedakah. He can't take tzedakah. So therefore, if you have less than 200 zoos, 199 already, you can take staka. If it's staka in gematria, it's 199. Also, it's the word tzedek, tzadi dalad kuf. So the two outer letters, tzadi and kuf, kuf is 100, tzadi is 90. What's the difference between 100 and 90? 10. 10 is meiser. What does the person do with the meiser? He gives it to the middle letter, dalad, as we said before, that's dal, that's the ani. You give 10% to the dal, to the ani. And also the Gemara says, mevazbez al yevazbez yoser michomesh, and a person gives, he shouldn't give more than 20%, right, one-fifth. So the word staka is that we have the tzedek, tzadi dalakuf, right, that you give 10%, we said, to the dal, to the dal. And at the end is the hey, to tell us that you shouldn't give more than 20%, or one-fifth. Hey is 5, you shouldn't give more than one-fifth. It's like to end off with one other short story in this Indian of Tztaka. There was an artist from Rehovot, his name was Bar Ami. And he used to sell his paintings, very, very expensive paintings. The originals he kept in a safe in America. And he used to sell what's called lithographs. They make very, very sharp, clear copies of the original. And they're numbered according to, they're serial numbered, right, each lithograph. Anyways, he was giving an exhibition, a talk, whatever, once. And after he was finished, an older woman comes up to him and says, would you perhaps have a picture that has to do with tzedaka? Some picture in the topic of tzedaka. I'd like to buy it. So he says, sure, I do. So he goes and whatever, goes through his stuff, picks one out, one of the lithographs, and shows it to her here. So she's examining it, and all of a sudden she turns white, and it looks like she's going to faint. So they quickly grab her, and they give her some water to drink, etc., whatever. And they said, what happened? What's wrong? So she says, well, yeah, I asked you to just bring me this picture, and you did, and I'm looking at it, and I noticed in the bottom is the serial number of this lithograph. And I saw that it says 199 on the bottom. So I said, okay, so why did you almost faint? Because you saw 199. So she takes her sleeve, and she lifts it up, and she shows that tattooed on her arm with the numbers 199. Right, she was a survivor of Auschwitz. And this was the number that was tattooed in her flesh, 199. So she saw, you know, this picture, that of all pictures, she picked out this, and it had the serial number 199, it was the same number on her arm. So he told her, he said, well, you know, so that's nothing. He said, he asked her, he said, tell me something. Why did you come to me and ask me, I want a picture of tzedaka? You know, why tzedaka? So she says, well, tzedaka is something that it's very meaningful to me because my family has always been involved with tzedaka. Ever since, even from before the war, we were involved with, you know, collecting money and handing it out to poor people, whatever. And constantly throughout my life, that has been sort of my, you know, theme of life, you know, tzedaka. I've always been involved with tzedaka. And therefore, it's very close to me, this idea, this topic, and that's why I wanted a picture of tzedaka. So he says, you want to hear something interesting? He told the woman, do you realize that 199, as we said before, right, 199 is the gematria of tzedaka. And he said, that was no coincidence that therefore that this number was tattooed on your arm. Right? As if to say that Kosh Baruch Hu made it, you know, that 199 tzedaka was put in your arm, that in the schus of the tzedaka that you were involved with, that you're going to be saved from the war. As the Chazal tell us that tzedaka is tatzil mimavis, and in fact this tzedaka saved her life. So those are the lessons that we can glean, as the Mor of Hashemesh says from the pasuk, b'nei gad lemishpachosam, the gad gimel dalet gomel dalim inyan of tzedaka litzvah mishpachat tzvoni. We have to keep our actions quiet, hidden. L'chagi mishpachas hachagi, we should give tzedaka with a pleasant, happy face of a chag. And finally, lishoni mishpachas hashoni, shuni, that we should give it over and over and over and again. And if so, if we'll do so, then we can be hope to be zocha to, as we said before, migdol yeshuas malka v'osa chesed limshichu l'david ozara adolam, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu in eschutz tzedaka, as Chazal tell us, gedolat tzedaka mishemekareves as a geula, Hashem should in fact do this, yishemekareves a geula shlema, b'mhir v'yameinu, amen.